side. Honor them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I ain't a tyke and shall see, open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
Here we go, folks. It is Monday, April the 4th, 2022. You're listening to today's very early morning edition of The Ugly Truth. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you are all doing well, those of you of good will. I will apologize ahead of time again for any sound effects to which you will be subjected, as I've explained on the last programs that I've done. I was attacked. Naturally, I wasn't attacked. I just got hit in the side of the face really hard by one of our sheep, one of our rams, and broke my nose really, really well. And as a result of this, that side of my face, then my nose is always running. And so I am constantly being forced to sniff. So any sound effects to which you will be subjected, I apologize ahead of time. So anyway, folks, if you're listening to this program right now, it's because I decided to go ahead and do it. I've been promising a very small group of people, good friends of mine, my closest friends, in fact, that I would be doing a program, but it always got pushed off and pushed off and pushed off. And as I said, I think on the very first return program that I did a month or so ago, folks, please don't assume that this represents a schedule of any sort. I do this program because I feel it is a public service. I'm not going to necessarily be putting these things up every week or anything like that. I'll do it when I feel that I have something interesting and important to say. And when I have collected my thoughts in such a way that something beneficial can come with it. There's just way too much noise out there these days, and it really, I think, prevents people from attaining that quietness of mind that a person needs in order to figure things out. And even though I think that we offer a unique perspective on things that are taking place in the world today, at the same time, it's very difficult to compete with all the nonsense that's going on out there, whether it is the mainstream media or whether it is the alternative media. It really is a very disconcerting thing to witness how the distractions that take place in the various discussions going on out there. As we've said, I think on the last two programs, the problem is, the problem is that we're having the wrong conversations most of the time. And I'll just give you an example of what I mean about a wrong conversation. Imagine that you have a house and it's got all sorts of things wrong with it. The plumbing leaks, the electrical wiring is old and outdated, and, switches are always arcing when you turn on a light switch. The insulation is going bad, and so the house, is cold in the winter, drafty. The floors creak, as you can hear when I walk around on this floor here. It creaks quite a bit. The roof leaks. The paint is peeling. These are all things, that are true. And there are problems that need to be fixed, but not when the house is on fire. Okay. At that moment, when the house is going up in flames, the wrong conversation to be having is fixing the roof that leaks, the floors that creak, the plumbing that leaks. Those are the wrong conversations to have, even though they're true. Okay. The way that they are prioritized over the fact that the house is on fire is why these are the wrong conversations to be having at that moment. And I see much of the conversations taking place today in that same way. There are all sorts of things being discussed out there that really, I think, whether they are intended this way or not, personally, I think that it is intentional. They draw people's awareness, curiosity, understanding, whatever, away from the real crux of the problem. And this is why it is important that those of us with a keen interest in our own future survival, that we not just focus, but hyper-focus on the fundamentals. We hyper-focus on not just the target, not just the bullseye of the target, but the center of the bullseye. Okay, I used to use that soundbite years ago from the movie The Patriot, where Mel Gibson is telling his sons they're about to ambush a patrol of British soldiers. This is taking place during the American Revolution. And the British soldiers have just taken away, they've just killed one of the sons and are taking the other one away to be hanged as a spy. And so Mel Gibson takes his two small boys with him to ambush these soldiers and to save his son. He says, what did I teach you fellas about shooting? And they said, aim small, miss small. And he said, that's right, aim small, miss small. And if you aim small, folks, then if you miss, you're only going to miss by a very, very small margin. And I think that this is what is missing from any therapeutics. That's a good word we could use, therapeutics, in healing our world today. And so this is the reason why, folks, I am not I'm not committed to doing a program every week. But rather, whenever the Spirit moves me, whenever I feel like I have something important to say that will be a benefit to all of you. And when I say all of you folks, I mean a very, very small number of people. And this is why I, this is one of the things that forms my opinion in this matter, that we really are in a very bad spot, because there are far too many people who want to have the wrong conversation, even amongst our own people, whatever we want to call this thing, the movement, the truth movement, the 9/11 truth movement, the patriot movement, all of these terms that have been thrown out there. They want to have the wrong conversation, and this is the problem that we face, and it's a very distressing thing to witness, because like I said, I think on the last program, I don't follow the antics anymore of anybody, any of the old gang that I used to run around with. But I suspect, based upon looking at the stats and the traffic numbers and things like that of my own website, that the center of the bullseye seems to be eluding the interest of most people. Now, what that means, folks, is that, yes, we are a very small group, and I'll just tell you right up front, in my opinion, there is no saving us from this terrible ordeal that is headed our way. Of course, I'm talking specifically about this war that is taking place in Ukraine with Russia and everything that's going to come from it. I had a very distressing discussion yesterday with a friend of mine who has a friend, and this friend owns this business that distributes food to the entire world. And this fellow who owns this business, very, very wealthy individual, and he told my friend, he said, you need to panic. He said, we are headed for food shortages, and the discussion that it's getting in the media, the discussion that it is getting in terms of Biden, when he made a comment a week or so ago about there being food shortages, it isn't getting anywhere near the amount of, it doesn't approach the degree of seriousness that really is involved in the whole thing. And then he explained to my friend what he meant by that. He said, most of the food that makes its way into the grocery stores was harvested or produced 5-6 years ago. There are some foods like vegetables and things like that, because they're hard, they can be packed away and preserved in such a way that they will keep good for years. And so there's at least always a 5-year supply of food. He said that number now has dwindled down to about 5 months. So I think that the die has been cast and the trajectory has been set, folks. I think that we are headed for things that none of us are really prepared to deal with. And that's another reason, folks, why I don't come up here to the microphone as much as I do, because I am busy doing what I can with the very limited resources that I have. I am busy trying to mitigate whatever problems that I will be dealing with here as the head of a very large family. So, you know, because I've gotten emails from people saying, you know, are you ever coming back? Are you going to do this? And I tell them, I say, well, I'm busy building my ark. Busy building my ark in preparation for what's coming. I know that whatever it is that I do, it is going to be completely inadequate, because I think that what is headed our way is so big and is so bad that it's the equivalent of going up against a five-alarm fire with a garden hose. But I have to do what I can. Okay, it's simply I don't have a choice as a father, head of a large household. I have to do whatever I can. And so it's being busy with these things that is another major reason why I simply don't have the time to make it here in front of the microphone. And on that note, folks, I want to say one thing before we get to today's discussion. I have a handful of confidants and advisors, close friends, my closest friends. And we have this conversation just about every day. And we have arrived, my counsel, we have arrived at the conclusion that the only hope that we have right now is for everything to fall apart. That is the only silver lining in all of this. Any hopes of avoiding what is coming is basically an impossibility, because it's not that it's coming, it's that it's here, it's on top of us. They just haven't, you know, we're in the pot of water, and they have lit the flame. So the water's getting warmer and warmer, hasn't gotten to boil yet, hasn't started to boil, but it will. So, and, you know, I think that this is a particularly important concept to keep in mind right now. You know, this is the reason why, folks, I spent such an inordinate amount of time and energy and resources in trying to squash down what was the tidal wave of absolute, abject, and intolerable stupidity on the part of so many people who are supposed to be on our side, who are supposed to quote-unquote get it, trying to stomp down all of this rhetoric about Donald Trump. those who follow the website, those who followed the program, will note that I said on many, many, many occasions, Trump's not a perfect man. You know, there's plenty of room for improvement, but anybody who's waiting around for a knight in shining armor to come riding in on a white horse and to just fix everything with one stroke is just delusional. He has to work within the parameters that he has in front of him. And the biggest biggest mission he has is to prevent World War III. That was it. All of this other stuff of Make America Great Again, of bringing back America's manufacturing, of sealing our borders, of lowering taxes, these were all just little incidentals to what was the big thing that Donald Trump was trying to do, which was to prevent the exact situation that we are facing right now. And so this is the reason, folks, this is the reason why I spent so much time, so much energy, wasted so much time and energy trying to reason with people that, look, do not add any fuel to this fire that the neoconservatives have lit under the feet of Donald Trump. If they want him gone, then we need to keep him, okay? Because these neoconservatives, who are basically just unindicted spies for Israel, who pulled off 9/11 and who got the entire war on terror started, they have much bigger plans than simply Iraq and Afghanistan, as evidenced by what happened under Barack Obama. We saw the destruction of Libya. We saw the destruction of Syria. And now the neocons, the neoconservatives, they have their sights set on Iran and on Russia, which they have all along. And unfortunately, folks, I think they're going to get it. I think they're going to get it. And in that regard, I suppose that we have to, this is a very hard thing to say, it's hard to contextualize and put it in its proper place, but we have to accept the fact that these things are going to happen and to embrace and use the disaster that is going to befall all of us. It's the only hope we have now of getting out from underneath this system, is for the whole thing to fall apart. Our last chance of avoiding this, and it was a very small chance at that, folks, came and went last January 20th, and I mean of 2021, when the illegitimate successor to Donald Trump was inaugurated. So anybody who's tuning in here looking for a hopeful message, I'm sorry to have to disappoint you, okay? The only hope we have is for everything to fall apart, and we need to embrace this. We need to prepare for this as best we can. It is the only chance. It is the only chance we have of surviving this thing. And when I say we, I don't necessarily mean you and I, folks. I mean we as the human race. Indeed, as Jesus Christ, the greatest political thinker in human history, predicted, unless these days would be cut short, no flesh would survive. Anyway, as I try to do on all my programs, folks, I invite you to go back and to listen to the introduction to the program, right before that nice, bouncy little piece of music starts playing, where we have one of the children of Israel, follower of Judaism. His name is Douglas Rushkoff, I believe. He's speaking at some some coagulation of followers of Judaism, and he's talking about the essence of the faith that they follow. And he says, you know, the thing that makes Judaism, notice he doesn't say Zionism, folks. He doesn't say Zionism. He doesn't say Illuminatiism. He doesn't say Freemasonry. He doesn't say, you know, all of the Talmudism. He doesn't say Talmudism. He says Judaism. He says the thing that makes Judaism so dangerous to everyone, to all races, to all creeds, is that we smash things that aren't true. And he then goes on to say, in a sense, our detractors have us right in that we are a corrosive force. Now, going back to what I was talking about earlier, folks, about the wrong conversations that are taking place, this is a prime example of that, and one which I try to correct on the website with the various articles that I post. Which is to try to get the readers to focus in, to hone in, not just on the target, but closer to the center, not just the bullseye, but the bullseye of the bullseye. And the bullseye of the bullseye, folks, is this thing known as Judaism. The religion of Judaism, of the tribe of Judah, okay? In that it is in a state of perpetual ceaseless, unrelenting, unremitting, and merciless war against everything, as Rushkoff says. Dangerous to everyone, all races, all creeds. This is the source of the problem that we face today, because as I have said on many programs, and as I have pointed out in various EdNote commentaries that I've attached to the pieces that appear on the website, this is not some inconsequential group of people living on top of some mountain in Peru waiting for the end of the world or waiting for spaceships to come and take them away. They are the most powerful group of people in the world. They own the world's money. They own the world's economic system. They own the political systems of the most powerful countries in the world, especially in the West. They own the media. They can get wars started, okay, just simply with, through the use of words. And this is what they're trying to do right now, okay? And this is, again, why I say no one should be entertaining any unwarranted hope that these things, that this war that they are trying to get started can be avoided, because the same patterns are there. The same people are doing the same things, and they're saying the same things for the same reasons that they did in the aftermath of 9/11 that resulted in this apocalyptic war being started in the Middle East. The same people are doing it, and the people who are on the receiving end of all of this black magic are reacting in exactly the same way. I've had many distressing conversations with friends of mine, people who are Trump supporters, people who were saying, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, yeah, we need to get out of the Middle East, we need to call it quits on all this war business, we need to take care of things at home and put people back to work. And these same people, as if Donald Trump had never said anything about ending these endless wars, are now saying, we got to go over there and get Putin. The same model is being used, and it is being used with great success. Okay? The right-wing media and the left-wing media are both singing the same song. Putin's a tyrant, Putin's a dictator, he's the new Hitler, he's a thug, he's a terrorist, he's a gangster, and we got to do something. Now, they're not going so far as to say we have to put boots on the ground, but they are basically bringing, you know, they're bringing everybody along to the what's going to be this big bonfire, and everybody's bringing their contribution, whether it's newspaper or cardboard or toothpicks or gasoline, and they're all piling it up. And all it's going to take is one person to light one match, and it's going to go up. And so this is why I caution all of you out there listening to this program not to get your hopes up that we're going to be able to avoid this thing, because I don't think that we will. I hope that we will, okay? I, as the father of many kids and many grandchildren as well, I do not relish the notion of, you know, what could be nuclear war taking place that would come right to all of our front doors. But, like I said, it doesn't seem that the body is raising a fever. I'll just give you this. We'll take a little divergence here, folks. You know, since we're coming out of one pandemic, you know, and I'm sure we will be going into a new one. The way that the whole immune system works is that when you have a foreign body that enters, you know, our immune system, and our immune system recognizes that this is a foreign body, that the body, the immune system, creates these antibodies, okay, these special self-defense mechanisms to go and attack these viruses and bacteria and things like that. And if the body doesn't do this, if it doesn't raise these antibodies to go and attack, it's over. Even something as simple as a cold is going to kill you, something that small. If you don't have any defense system against it, it will kill you. And so you would think, in the aftermath of 9/11, what was a 20-year war that took place after that, that was solely the product of these people, these neoconservatives, you would think that the body had developed these antibodies that stay in your body, in your immune system, for the rest of your life. This is why you never catch the same cold twice, okay? Because as soon as that virus that you had, as soon as the body develops antibodies for it, if that virus ever enters your system again, that particular virus, your body has already created the antibodies necessary to destroy it. That's why the same cold virus, you'll get it over and over and over throughout your life, and you won't even know it. Okay, so the antibodies that we as a body politic should have created within our political immune system after the disaster known as the War on Terror and the war in Iraq and all the rest of that, these antibodies don't exist, folks. And the proof of that is the fact that once again, as I said before, the same people are saying the same things for the same reasons in order to create the same outcome that they did with 9/11. And rather than the body politic, at least in the West, and especially in America, and rather than the body politic raising a fever, right, the antibodies kicking in and killing this virus, rather than the body politic raising this fever to kill this virus now that has entered the body and is replicating itself over and over and over again, instead of that fever, now we have people coming down with war fever, meaning that they're saying we have to help out the Ukrainians. We have to send them planes and all sorts of other weaponry without thinking for a moment, without ever thinking for a moment, well, wait a minute. Isn't it possible that the Russians are going to view that as an act of war? Okay, so maybe we're not putting boots on the ground, even though I strongly assume that we are. In fact, Biden said as much when he was in Europe last week, and he was eating pizza with members of the 82nd Airborne. Now, this is important, folks, because if he had made these comments to, you know, he was at some base where it was, I don't know, some other branch of the military, you know, rather than the 82nd Airborne, okay, which these are the troops, these are special forces, these are the guys that are going to go in if there is going to be any conflict. The fact that he said, you know, when you go into Ukraine, you're going to see this, and you're going to see this, and you're going to see this. That, coupled with his statement that Putin has got to go, he can't remain in power. Okay, so the fact that, as of this moment, there are no official moves to put boots on the ground. Nevertheless, they are setting up a situation whereby war is inevitable. It's basically inevitable. It's just a repeat of what happened with both world wars. Wilson said, I'm not going to send any American men to fight and die in a foreign war. But he sent arms to the British. And the Axis powers viewed that as an act of war. And after the boats carrying these arms were sunk by German U-boats, then the Americans had what they needed in order to get into the war. And the same thing with World War II. So we're seeing it happen again. And again, there is no discussion of who is behind it and why they are intent on seeing this war take place. Now, there are two important articles, folks, and again, anybody tuning in here looking to get cheered up, I'm sorry to have to disappoint you, okay? I have nothing but bad news to bring to you in this regard. There were two articles that were published last week that if the body politic were, if the immune system of the body politic, at least in the United States, were healthy, and if it were functioning the way that it should, and especially after the disaster of 9/11 and the war on terror, we would have seen this outrage coming from Trump's supporters, including in the media, like that idiot Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck and all of these other guys who, you know, sang Trump's praises for the 4 years that he was in office, but now are joining up with Trump's enemies and are basically preparing the American people, at least the right-wing branch of the American people, for what I believe is the inevitable conflict with Russia that could go nuclear, okay? Two pieces that hold on, folks, I'm looking at something, yeah. Two pieces that should have featured, and maybe they did on Tucker Carlson, because he seems to be a little more adventurous than some of the other guys. You know, he will mention the neocons. He will be very critical of, you know, our foreign policy that is controlled by a cabal of people who are intent upon endless and perpetual war. He won't go so far as to assign the real blame for this with Israel, which is exactly what it is. It's where all of this is coming from. As I said, for 5 years and during the whole Trump, the Get Trump thing, none of this would have been taking place in terms of the media, in terms of the impeachment, and all of the other stuff, if they didn't have very clear instructions from Netanyahu to do so. In America, a journalist doesn't even blow his nose unless he knows ahead of time that it's okay. So, two pieces that appeared in the mainstream media that should have, if the body politic, if the immune system of the body politic were functioning properly, should have featured as the lead discussions for days and weeks on end. And yet, to my knowledge at least, and I certainly hope I'm wrong, but I fear that I'm not, they have gotten no attention that I know of. The first was written by Dov Zakheim, now Rabbi Dov Zakheim. Now, this is not an inconsequential person, folks. This was George W. Bush's foreign policy advisor when Bush was running for president in 2000. And then afterwards, Zakheim worked in a very high spot in the Pentagon, overseeing, or rather, I would say, managing the cover-up of the loss of, I think, $2 trillion in the Pentagon. And he is, of course, as you have already deduced, he is of the Judaic persuasion. He is one of the children of Israel and a follower of Judaism, a rabbi, in fact. And he wrote this piece that appeared in The Hill, which is an extremely influential political news site. And he said, the title of the piece is, "Washington Must Stop Worrying About World War III and Act." I want you to think about that for a moment, folks. Washington, America, United States of America, must stop worrying about World War III and act. Now remember, folks, World War III is not like World War II, and it's not like World War I. Okay, World War III is not just, you know, tanks and airplanes. It's nuclear weapons, it's biological weapons, and weapons of mass destruction. Things, weapons that literally could wipe out half the human race in less than 30 minutes. Okay. So, Zakheim says, Washington must stop worrying about World War III and act. Now, what is it about Ukraine that is so damned important? If we're just going to take Zakheim at his words, what is so important about Ukraine that it warrants World War III, where literally half of the human population could be wiped out in the span of just 30 minutes? Does Ukraine possess all of the oil in the world that we need in order to run our modern industrialized economies? No. Does it possess all of the fresh water in the world, without which everyone would die in 3 days? No. Does Ukraine, is there something so important about it that its existence is intrinsically tied to the ability for 7 billion people around the world to eat? No. So what is it about Ukraine that is so important? Well, if Ukraine were being attacked by anybody else other than Russia, then it wouldn't be important. But what is going on here, folks, and again, this is the reason why I say that, you know, unfortunately, we are in the mess that we're in right now because people are too intent with having the wrong conversation. Okay, the conversation that we need to be having is that the followers of Judaism want the Russians out of the Middle East so that they can do what the hell they want in taking over the entire region between the Nile and the Euphrates, exactly as that corrosive force known as Judaism dictates they are supposed to do. That is the bottom line. The fact that the Russians are in the Middle East, principally Syria and Iran, and that the Russians are basically sitting there as a big mean dog growling at Israel, saying, you're not going to move forward as long as we're here. You're not going to take Syria. We're not going to let you destabilize the region any more than you already have. And, by the way, we fully support the creation of a Palestinian state. That's what this is all about, folks. That is what it's all about. Just as the destruction of Iraq, okay, as was described by former Mossad agent Viktor Ostrovsky in his book, By Way of Deception, he describes how the various tentacles of the Judaic octopus went to work, and they were seducing the American mind into supporting war in the Middle East, known as Operation Brushfire. This is what the Mossad was involved in. And they did this so that that giant Iraqi army in the desert would be destroyed by the Gentiles of the West, so that the children of Israel wouldn't have to do it themselves. That's what it's all boiled down, what it boils down to. This piece, along with another one written by, and here's another indicator, folks, that things are just not well, that the immune system in the United States and in the West is not well. We have not developed the antibodies that we need in order to survive the deadly effects of the Judaic virus as it is dispensed into the body politic by this group known as the neoconservatives. Another piece that should have raised the fever of the American people, if the immune system were working correctly, was written by Max Boot, one of Trump's biggest enemies, during the entire five-year ordeal of the campaign and then the Trump presidency, who is a spy for Israel. He works for Netanyahu along with William Kristol and Jennifer Rubin and Krauthammer before he died and went to his eternal rest. Max Boot wrote a piece that basically was almost word for word the same as the one written by Dov Zakheim. Both of these people who got us involved in the war on terror, folks. And his piece was, "We can't let the threat of World War III deter us from supplying Ukrainians with fighter planes." Okay, so these people want war, folks. They want war as much as they wanted war before 9/11. Okay. And unfortunately, if we step back and we listen to the conversations that are taking place in the media, both left and right, and if we listen to the conversations that are taking place around us, people we know and people we don't know, all the signs are there that Judea is going to get the war that it wants. The war between the Western Roman Empire, meaning NATO, and the Eastern Roman Empire, meaning Russia. And remember something else, folks. The entire thing that drives the whole Judaic paradigm here, the whole State of Israel thing, as we point out regularly on the website, and as we have said many, many times over the years, okay, the creation of the State of Israel was not just to create some small, tiny homeland for the poor little followers of Judaism. It was about fulfilling the prophecies and the commandments found within the religion of Judaism concerning the creation of God's headquarters on earth. And this is something that, that especially Christians and Muslims, but I think all Gentiles, they don't really understand the severity, the extremism of this corrosive force and why it is, and the central role that the creation of a physical heaven on earth, the importance that this plays. You see, for Christians, we know that that there is something better in the afterworld. Okay, that's the real kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, is that you lead a good, righteous life. You do what is good and you avoid doing what is evil, and then you will be rewarded with that in the next life. This was Jesus' message, one of the reasons why the followers of Judaism rejected him in the way that they did, because their idea is, no, it's all right here, right now. Give us what we want right here, right now, just like Moses did. Okay. And the same thing with the followers of Islam. Okay. They understand that there is a better world that is coming, that this is just an appetizer to the main event, and that the object is to lead a good life and to avoid doing what is evil, so that later you will be rewarded with paradise. This is not what the followers of Judaism believe. What they believe is that this kingdom of heaven has to be built in this world, that there is no afterlife, and just like any kingdom, there is a king and there is a throne from which all authority is sent out. And to the followers of Judaism, this authority is to come from Jerusalem. It's to come from them, a nation of priests, and you know, the light amongst the nations. And I have pointed out on many Ed Notes, I have taken excerpts of these various prophecies that have appeared in the book of Isaiah, the book of Ezekiel, and these others, talking about this future thing. And the religion of these people, the followers of Judaism, is very specific about this. This kingdom is to go, its geographical boundaries are from the Nile to the Euphrates rivers. So, and they believe that before all of this can take place, and this is very important, folks, for us to understand in pursuing the quote-unquote right conversation, they believe that the only way this is going to happen is for the world to be purified through war and suffering and massive death. This is how the world is to be cleansed and purified, so that when the Messiah, the Moshiach, when he arrives, he will be able to, you know, humanity will have been purified. And if you read the Jewish press, folks, and I strongly encourage you to, and again, this is one of the reasons why I say, you know, things are not, they're not in their right place, okay? You have to go and read what these people write. You have to pay close attention to what they say. You know, it's amazing whenever there's a mass casualty event, okay, a shooting or a bombing or something like that, there's always a manifesto, or seems to be there's always a manifesto, written by the perpetrator of these things, where he lays out, you know, what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, and why he's doing it. Okay. Well, the followers of Judaism, they write on a daily basis what they're doing, what they're planning to do, how they're going to do it, and why they're going to do it. And they're very, you know, they're becoming more and more very explicit in it. One piece, for example, is entitled, "The Coming World War Will Destroy Christianity and Its Profane Civilization, Leaving Only Torah Judaism." Now, this isn't just one out of a thousand pieces, folks, meaning the one crazy thing written in and there are 999 others that are not as crazy. These things are appearing more and more on a daily basis, especially as we get closer and closer to war. Okay, this fever that has always afflicted these people, the followers of Judaism, this fever is getting hotter and hotter. And as people know, you know, when a person suffers from fever, they become very delusional and they say things that just don't make any sense. If you read the Judaic press, you will see that more and more every day their writing and their speech is becoming more and more delusional. And they are really showing a lot of leg, so to speak. They're not bothering to hide anymore what it is that they are planning for the rest of us. And they are speaking in very plain language, talking, as I said here in reading this title, where it talks about the destruction of the profane civilization that is built upon Christianity, and how the only thing that will be left will be Judaism. Okay. Now, this is very important because, as I said, these are not inconsequential people with limited resources and limited power, okay? It's not just that they're delusional. They have the means to bring all of this about. And unfortunately, those who we have entrusted to provide us with the information that we need in order to frame an intelligent understanding, accurate understanding of the nature of the situation we face, they have not and are not and will not have that frank discussion about what is really the energy that is driving all of this. And as I said, folks, we're in a real bad spot. And I certainly hope, if for no other, and I'll just give you another little example. You know, I had this conversation the other day with a very good friend of mine. I said, you know, imagine that you are walking down the sidewalk in some major American city, and you walk into a neighborhood, a very depressed, economically depressed neighborhood, and you happen to be the wrong color, okay? And as you're walking down the sidewalk, you can see the very angry people in that depressed neighborhood coming out and eyeballing you because you are the wrong color. And they start moving in on you. Until now, they're surrounding you 360 degrees. There's 50 of them, and there's one of you. There's no chance of running away. There's no chance of fighting your way out of it. The only thing you can do is to curl up in a ball, protect yourself, protect the vital areas of your body when they start wailing on you, and hope that you live through it, and then deal with whatever has to be done in the aftermath of this in healing yourself, okay, broken bones or whatever. This is the practical posture, I think, that we need to adopt with regards to what is coming. Now, could I be completely wrong, and could there be a miracle take place as took place on June the 8th, 1967, when the children of Israel, the followers of Judaism, were attacking the USS Liberty, and we literally were 3 minutes away from nuclear war, just like we are now. And a miracle happened in that the ship did not sink, and it spared the world. Yes, folks, something like that could happen. And I hope that something like that does happen, okay? But in the meantime, I wouldn't count on it. I would assume, just like going back to the analogy that I just used about finding yourself on the wrong side of town, and being the wrong color, I would assume all of us should make the assumption that we're going to get the tar kicked out of us and to do whatever we have to do, make whatever preparations we have to make in order to get through that as best as we can. And part of that process, folks, and I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm saying here, part of that process is preparing ourselves mentally for what is coming. And part of that process of preparing ourselves mentally for what is coming is to understand the nature of what this is. Okay. We made the fatal mistake thousands of years ago. When I say we in the collective sense, obviously we weren't there thousands of years ago. But our forefathers, our ancestors, and especially the people that were at the time trusted for all of their wisdom and all of their intelligence and their infallibility in deciding certain things and resting on certain ideas, when they made the fatal decision thousands of years ago to not assign the correct nature, and by that I mean the very dangerous and destructive nature of Judaism. When they didn't do this, this is how we are finding ourselves in the mess that we're in right now. Thousands of years ago, the owners of the house decided to bring this baby alligator in as a pet. This little alligator. They said, oh, what harm can this thing do? Look, he's little. And in that time, obviously between then and now, the alligator has grown to this enormous size, and there is no stopping it. They're only now beginning to figure out that they have an alligator problem, except he's in the house, and there's no getting him out. He rules the house. And it doesn't matter, folks. It could have been any alligator. There isn't anything in particular about this alligator that makes him more dangerous than others. They're all dangerous, along with their cousins, the crocodiles. You see, and I use this example because we have these people who say, well, there are different types of Jews. There's Sephardic Jews, and there are Khazar Jews, and Ashkenazi Jews, and no. The difference between them is like the difference between alligators and crocodiles, okay? Certain different physical characteristics. An alligator's got a longer nose, more slender. A crocodile has got a nose that's shorter and wider, but the nature of the beast is the same between the two. And when you bring them into your abode as a pet, even though they're little, eventually they're going to get big enough to where they're going to devour everything and everyone. So, that's it, folks. That's it for today. I told myself that I was going to keep it at about an hour, and we are just about there. Again, I apologize for the sound effects. It's just part of what we have to deal with here. And we need to prepare ourselves, folks. We need to curl up in a ball, like I used in the example before, and we need to prepare ourselves for the blows. And hopefully we will learn a lesson from this, the lesson that our ancestors should have learned thousands of years ago, a lesson that was made crystal clear, and that's crystal with a K, folks, crystal clear on the morning of Crucifixion Friday, 33 AD, when the children of Israel, the followers of Judaism, had the choice put before them to release Jesus of Nazareth, who had spent the last 3 years of his life doing nothing except saying good words and doing good works, versus releasing Barabbas, who was a murderer, who was a zealot, a true follower of Judaism, a true child of Israel, one of the children of Israel, in his being part of a rebellion against Gentile civilization, against the Romans. And they made that fatal choice. And that is the lesson that we should have learned in these 2,000 years, is that there is no rehabilitating the alligator. The alligator will always be the alligator, whether he's an inch long and weighs a mere few ounces, or whether he is 30 feet long and weighs 10 tons. Hopefully, folks, we will have learned a lesson from this, and we will not allow the alligators to live amongst us in the future. That's it for today, folks. Until we meet again, be well, stay safe, stay smart.